Nicola and I are agreed that we have just been handed perhaps the biggest disappointment that we've had in a while, hey Nick? It's about as disappointed as we have been in a while, because we were told that not only would Rebecca Davis be in the studio with us this afternoon, well, we wouldn't notice her because the indication was that she would have with her Miles Davis Dorji. Rebecca, you've let us down. You're on the phone. That's not what we were promised.
I apologize, John, and it is just because it has been a bit of a mad week, and the little chap is, to be fair, not perhaps in the greatest of spirits today, and I think, I want you, when you meet him, I want you to be blown away by his radiance, and today is not that day.
It's a brave mother that admits that her very young one is not always brilliantly radiant.
I'm happy to admit that.
Okay. Right, well, let's get on to the children and women being snatched by Nigerian syndicates. How do people believe this, Rebecca?
Loads, John, loads. It is Twitter is awash with this belief that there's been this recent spate of young women and children being abducted by human trafficking syndicates. The idea is, there are various permutations of this belief that local children are being shipped in containers to the east, that the women are being trafficked for sexual slavery. But above all, seems to be the one common denominator, the belief that Nigerians are involved, that it is Nigerians who are running human traffic rings. There's now a change.org petition calling for the deportation of all Nigerian men. And there's a protest being organized for outside the Nigerian embassy in Pretoria next week on the 23rd of September. So the question is, where is this all coming from? Well, one thing is that there's a TV news clip circulating, a real TV news clip, I think it's from ETV News, about local women being rescued from being held against their will by a Nigerian man. And that TV news clip is from 2017 and did happen, but it was 3 years ago. But mostly, John, there was that shocking incident, when was it? A week ago, 2 weeks ago, in which a man was filmed trying to grab a little girl from a pizza restaurant in Roodepoort in a video which went viral, and the restaurant owner got up and tackled him to the ground. Very compelling footage and awful, obviously. But after that, there were claims that that perpetrator, the man who tried to grab that little girl, had confessed to working for a Nigerian syndicate. Now, this is absolutely not true. He was a young man with mental health issues and a drug problem who was living with his parents. He said he had no access to a phone or to the internet. There was no chance he was in any way connected to a Nigerian human trafficking syndicate. But that hasn't stopped people going wild with this. And the other thing, John, which is almost too complex to and exhausting to explain, is that this may be linked to the vast American conspiracy theory known as QAnon, which is this kind of web of conspiracy theories to do with COVID-19 being a myth, climate change being a myth. And central to it is this belief that elites in our society are preying on young children, that they are that politicians are pedophiles. There is this overarching internet thing happening, which is greatly exaggerating the scale of human trafficking and of pedophilia, and is really hampering actual attempts by legitimate organizations to help children in need and to help trafficking victims. Let's leave that aside for now. The point is, South African police have said there is no evidence of a sudden epidemic of human trafficking or of child abduction in South Africa. Human trafficking is actually not common in South Africa. But in South Africa, the Twitter sentiment appears to be consciously fermented at the moment by an account called Lerato Pile, which is an unusual name, I think we can agree. It's using the hashtag #PutSouthAfricaFirst, and as Daily Maverick reported in August, it's part of an orchestrated Twitter campaign of around 80 interconnected Twitter accounts, which are constantly pumping out xenophobic messages, messages about foreigners being involved in crime, at the moment targeting Nigerians. In the past, it has been targeting Zimbabweans as well. And the return message we need to put out, John, as the media, but also as sensible members of the public, is that the trafficking, human trafficking story is nonsense, that there is no evidence that foreigners in South Africa are disproportionately responsible for violent crime. I mean, police don't release statistics of nationalities in the crime report, so it's hard to know. But one of the most recent stats is that only 7% of those in South African jails are foreign. So if foreigners are committing all these crimes, they're also getting away with them at scale. And why this is important, John, is because of the Human Rights Watch report released today finding, again, not news, but that xenophobia in South Africa is routine and sometimes lethal. It's reporting as well that in the most recent outbreak of xenophobic violence in 2019, where the South African government tried to claim it was South Africans who were mainly the victims, in fact, it was foreigners who were killed, 12 foreigners who were killed. And really, it is incumbent on us to put out this message that this is nonsense, that people are being used by a Twitter campaign. To what end, we're not even sure, but that xenophobic sentiment is once again being fomented through fake news. So please, if you hear somebody claiming this, that human trafficking, that children are being abducted, it's not true at the moment.
I did an interview with an astronomer a couple of days ago about the possibility of a certain kind of life being found in Venus's noxious gaseous clouds, and I'm delighted that it interests you as well.
It does, John. I thought for certain that you would be on it. So I definitely did not do any kind of research that would enable me to speak fluently about it. And I'm glad you have that covered. But what I do find interesting, two points made in an article this week on, I think, Slate.com, is that the fact that they found this gas called phosphine floating in the clouds of Venus, which may mean that it is associated with life because in Earth this gas is associated with life. But it has been pointed out that phosphine does occur in some places without life, like Jupiter and Saturn. The point is it's creating anxiety among some people because it's very likely that there will now be a mad rush on Venus. Now that private space travel is becoming a real, genuine possibility, it seems likely that we're also going to see, you know, expeditions heading to Venus now, which is now going to become kind of one of the primary destinations, most likely. And why is this a problem? Well, because we keep screwing things up in the universe wherever we go. So last year, the first private spacecraft to land on the moon, which was the Sheret from Israel, splattered thousands of tardigrades across the moon's surface. Now, tardigrades are those little microscopic water bears that exist in water. That Israeli lunar lander crashed on the moon and just spewed these little creatures and DNA all over the moon's surface. And of course, that's not the first time. The Apollo astronauts left nearly 100 bags of human feces on the moon's surface before they returned to Earth. Basically, the fact that Venus has now sort of hoven into all our consciousnesses as a promising destination to look for life is bad news for Venus because it means that humans will probably be heading there and God help Venus. But the other interesting thing, John, is that there was an embargo on this news about phosphine being found in the Venus atmosphere for several days or even weeks before the announcement. But apparently it was immediately common knowledge in astronomical circles. Astronomical circles, is that right? Circles of astronomers. Because astronomers apparently find it very hard to keep secrets, actually, and are constantly gossiping and discussing the developments in the academic field. And what this suggests is that those people who believe that there's a vast conspiracy to keep proof of alien life from the rest of us, well, if that is so, they must be dealing with a different kind of astronomers. Because in this case, the cat was out of the bag days before it was officially announced. It was already an open secret among astronomers. So I think we can conclude they probably haven't been keeping other secrets from us very well either.
Yeah, Kathy tells us that QAnon knows where the truth lies. Well, if that's the case, Kathy, why do they continue to peddle such obvious falsehoods if they know where the truth lies?
Tell Kathy if she'd like to get in touch with me, please do, because I'm working on an article about QAnon in South Africa since it is taking off. And Kathy, I would love to hear from you personally.
Kathy, can we give Rebecca your phone number so you can discuss with her your belief in the QAnon positions and to say yes or no, and we will pass on or not pass on. And then I think a heterosexual man, and I don't have a need at the moment for a dating profile, but it's entirely possible that I might. Should I have two cats? Should I post a picture of myself on that dating profile with one or both of my cats, Rebecca?
Not if you want to get a date, John.
Really?
This is the insane finding of new breaking you know, just cutting
Kathy doesn't want to talk to you about her belief in QAnon. I'm very surprised not. Okay, back to cats and dating.
They really do. Researchers showed young women, white women, I'm not sure everyone in the study was white for reasons which are totally unclear. They showed young women photos of young white men posing either alone or with a cat. And this is because their previous research has shown that women find men with pets to be, in general, quite attractive partners. But only, it turns out, when the pet is not a cat. I'm sure not only, actually. Snakes might have the same.
But anyway,
go with dogs, perhaps. They found that the men pictured holding cats were thought of as less extroverted and more neurotic. They also saw these men as less masculine and more agreeable and open, which might seem like a good thing, but what it suggests most is friend zone. A lovely friend is that person holding a cat, but not somebody you want to rip your clothes off. Now, all that this suggests to me is that heterosexual women are crazy, since who wouldn't want a lovely man holding a cat? That's what I think. But it does suggest that if you are a heterosexual man on the hunt for love, keep your cat out of your Tinder profile.
What's Tinder, Rebecca?
Tinder?
I know what it is.
John, don't play the coy mistress with me.
I am away for the next Thursday, but I will be back the Thursday after that. So in a fortnight, I will be back and chatting to you. You'll be chatting to Mike Wills next week. I do hope that Miles is radiant enough in 2 weeks' time for you to bring him into the studio to meet us.
It is a date, sir.
There
and enjoy
we
your
go.
Time off.
And you're welcome to bring him in with the cat. We don't mind. Rebecca Davis, Plan B.